Okay, so chapter 16, page 111 here. So we're getting into some serious couple of reading. These are actually pretty good passages for reading now. So you can tell that you have actually covered most of the grammar because you've got the, you can actually read passages pretty much now. There's still details that you haven't actually learned yet, but the main aspects of grammar have been covered already here. So, the first passage here is a continuation of what we did last time. So I think it should be fairly straightforward. So you have here, ten, te ye namyatarang gama padang, ten upasanka mingsu. So again, you have the yena tena construction. You have upasanka mingsu. Here is the aorist, third person plural. So they approached, and you have te at the very beginning, there is the agent. So that's they approached. And what they approached here is in the nominative because of the yena tena construction. So towards yena, anyatran gama padang, a certain village site. So they approached, basically they approached a certain village site, that's what it says. Tatta adasansu pahutang komang chantitang. Again, this is like an equational sentence. The verb to be has to be inserted. There's a past participle there, chantitang. But here it functions pretty much like an adjective in this particular sentence. No, sorry, it's not an equation at all. I'm telling you the wrong thing. Adasansu obviously is the main verb here. And chaditang is just a past participle functioning as an adjective. So adasansu, air is third person plural, they saw. And there's no agent apart from the implied pronoun in the verb. And what they saw here is all these accusative words here, pahutang, komang, chaditang. Komang is the main noun, and pahutang and chaditang are adjectives agreeing with it. So komang is flax, pahutang much, chaditang thrown away. So there, tata, they saw much flax that had been thrown away, or much abandoned flax, if you like. Then you have disva, having seen that, and then you have the pe, and the pe, as we had before, as we saw in this chapter, pay just means etc. and so on. In other words, the story continues in exactly the same way. So they, they see some other valuable thing and they throw what they had off, pick that up, and etc. etc. One thing after the other. So pay, and then they saw much pahutan, koma sutan, chaditan, much abandoned flax thread, sutan flax thread, koma sutan flax thread. Having seen that, pay, etc., and the whole range of commodities of increasing value is enumerated. Pay, etc. Pahutang suvannang chaditang. So now they saw much suvannang, much abandoned gold. So they saw much abandoned gold. Having seen disva, sahayako sahayakang amantesi, having seen that, in other words, the friend addressed the friend. Yastako samma ataya Ichayama, Sananva, Sanasutanva, etc., 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 Sisanva, Sajunva, Idang, Pahutang, Suvannang, Chaditang. So here you have a sentence with a relative, which is a relative sentence, first of all, which ends with Ichayama, that's the relative part. You have the relative pronoun, Yasa, at the beginning, and the sentence ends with the verb Ichayama. And then you have a demonstrative clause beginning with Sanan coming after that, ending with chaditang. So the first part here, the relative clause, ichayama, we would desire, and there is no agent there apart from the we, so we would desire, and there's no direct object either. But there is this ataya, which is the dative of purpose. The ya ending there is a dative of purpose, because atto is a masculine noun, and the ya ending then is a dative of purpose. So it means for the purpose of which. Atta itself means like purpose, right? So it's like almost like doubling it up. You have the ya ending and the atta. And then you have yassa, which agrees with ataya. So yassa is also dative here. So it means which purpose. So in other words, for which purpose. Yassa, for which purpose. And then samma is just dear. So that's like a vocative. So dear, for which purpose we might desire or we would desire. And actually, the part after here also belongs to this particular, also belongs actually to this relative sentence here. Actually, this, which comes after here is actually the patient of the sentence. So for which purpose we would desire sānang, hemp, sanasuttang, hemp thread, etc., etc., or sisang, lead, or sajong, silver. So for which purpose we would desire all these things? And then comes the demonstrative clause, idam pahutang suvannang chaditang. Here, idam, here, this is the equation sentence now, here is much abandoned gold, suvannang. Literally, good color, but it's gold. Here is much abandoned gold.
Word which is here?
I just translated idang as here. Idang, usually idang means this.
Yeah.
And you can translate it as this here if you like. This, for which purpose? This is much abandoned gold. You can do that. But sometimes these pronouns, they have indeclinable meanings.
Oh.
And sometimes, and I think this particular case, it can mean here as an indeclinable meaning. Yeah, that's very tricky. But but if you translate that list, that's pretty natural actually. Tena hi sama tvangcha sanabaran chadehi ahancha sanjubaran chadesami. And of course, chadehi here is the verb of the first part of the sentence. Chadehi, imperative, second person singular, you. You throw away, tvang is the agent there, you throw away, sanabarang is the patient here, you throw away the load of hemp. He's still carrying the load of hemp after all this time. You carry away the load of hemp. And tenahisama, now dear, you throw away the load of hemp. Ahancha sadrubarang chadesami, and I, chadesami, I will throw away sadrubarang, the load of silver. So he has been exchanging for every time they found something new, he's been exchanging for the more valuable thing, whereas the other guy's been carrying around the load of hemp from the beginning. And then it continues, Ubo suvanna barang adaya gamisama. So adaya, having taken, jerin, gamisama, we will go. Ubo is here the agent, it agrees with we. So we both, having taken, and what they have taken is suvanna barang, the patient here, the accusative. We both, having taken the load of gold, we will go. T, end quote. And then the guy replies, the fellow replies, Ayanko me samma sanabaro durabato cha susanado cha alang me tang pajanahiti. It's exactly the same we had in the last chapter, actually. So you have here the past participle durabato and susanado, past participles, durabato is like well or carried with difficulty, and susanado well tied up, and it agrees with sanabaro here. So sanabaro is load of hemp. So an ayang is this agrees with sanabaro. This load of hemp has been carried with difficulty and is well tied up me by me, dear. So dear, this load of hemp has been carried with difficulty by me and is well tied up. Alang me. It is enough for me, equation sentence, alang me, it's enough for me, tvang bhajanahi, you should know, or you should know that. T, end quote. Okay, then we have that's pretty much the same as the last one, so I don't think it's too much to be said about that one. Second passage for reading. Buddha pubban anyataro sukkara posako puriso sakangha gama anyangamang agamasi. So here you have the verb here is agamasi. It's an aorist, third person singular. It means literally went. So went. And the person who went here, the nominative is anyataro sukkara posako puriso. All that is nominative. So that is the agent here. That's one thing here. And here, the main noun here is puriso, and sukkara posako is an adjective which agrees with that, and anyataro is like a pronoun which agrees with the two others. So puriso is man, sukkara posako. Sukkara is pig, and posako apparently means something like breeder or farm, pig farmer maybe, pig breeder, and anyataro is a certain. So a certain man who was a pig farmer went. And where he went is to the accusative Anyangaman, another village. He went to another village. So that is kind of the main structure of the sentence there. It's very handy. Once you follow the rule, just go from the nominatives and the accusatives first of all, and the verb, you get the very clear structure of the sentence, the idea of what it means. A certain man who was a pig breeder went to another village. You know that already. And then you have sakanha gama there, and that is an ablative. You have the angha ending, which is an ablative ending for pronouns. Sakanha means own, so it means from one's own, or from own. And gama is another ablative ending, which the long A ending there, so from the village. So because sakanha and gama agree with each other, it means own village. So because it's ablative, it means from one's own, or from his own village. You have to add the his, add another pronoun there. From his own village. And then you have Buddhapubang at the very beginning, which means like once upon a time. So once upon a time, a certain man who was a pig breeder went from his own village to another village. Right? Tatta addasa pahutang sukkagutang chanditang. Here the main verb is adasa, third person singular aorist, he saw, and there is no agent apart from that one in the sentence here. The agent is obviously the same as in the previous sentence. So he saw, and what he saw here is all in the accusative. Pahutang, sukkagutang, chaditang. Sukkagutang is the main noun here, dry dung, quite literally. Sukka is dry. Guttang is dung. This is a type of compound called a kamadarya compound. Dry is the adjective agreeing with dung. So you have that combined together. So dry dung. So there is for much. There is for dry dung. Pahutang much chaditang abandoned. There is for much abandoned dry dung. Disvan disvanasa etadahosi. Disvana here is just an alternative version of disva, which means having seen. The reason you have the N there is probably because of a junction. It's a junction form. So it fit with asa. He actually says down the bottom here is an archaic form of disva, which, yeah. Okay, so disvana, having seen, asa etadahosi. Now, asa etadahosi here, you may recognize this construction again. It's a construction for thinking. You have the verb to be, and you have the genitive, and you have this. So you have, of him, this was. In other words, he thought this. This is an idiom for thinking in Pali. So having seen, in other words, having seen that, he thought this. Ayan me bahuko sukkaguto chandito mamancha sukkara battanya. So here, the first part up to the comma there is an equational sentence. There's no verb there apart from the chandito, which is abandoned, again acting as an adjective. So here you have this is much abandoned dry dung, and then you have me, which obviously means like for me or something like that. So this is much abandoned dry dung for me. In other words, he's saying he can use it basically, I suppose. This. Mm-hmm. Am I talking about
that? Oh.
Yeah?
You see, I thought that ion was just this, in other words, a definite article. This much dry dung.
Mm.
And then I had to figure out how to say is for me. So, but it's this is.
Yeah.
Yes? I always miss those.
And this is just training. This is just training, you know. Sometimes you just need to see these things. It just takes a while to get your head around it. So you're basically doing the right thing. You're not doing anything wrong here.
No.
If you say this much abandoned dry dung for me, you are on the right track. You know. Yeah. Just have to add the verb to be in there to get it to be a. Otherwise, if you don't have a verb, it doesn't really become a sentence.
Well, I said is for me.
Is for me. Yeah. Mm. This much dry dung is for me. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really this is dry dung. Actually,
yeah. This is much dry dung. This is much abandoned dry dung for me here. Maman cha sukkarabatanya. And it is another equation sentence really. And it is sukkarabatan, pig food. Sukkara, pig, and battan food. And it is pig food. Maman, again, probably for me or something like that. It is pig food for me here. Yeah.
Well, I think in here your translation was my pigs. My pigs, you okay?
Yeah, for my pigs.
Could that be, I mean, is it either way?
And it is pig foods for me, huh? Pig well, foods? Yeah. I'm not sure now, but really, it is pig food for me. Pig for me sounds a bit, sounds funny in English, you know, pig food for me. Sounds like you're going to eat pig food or something.
Oh, well, it says meal, and a meal for my pigs, is what you have.
Meal for my pigs.
And a meal for my pigs.
Well, the problem with that is that then I'm dividing up the compound and saying that sukkara, pig, agrees with mama, my pigs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wondered about
that. But I'm not sure if they can do that.
Oh, I wondered about that. Whether you could.
Yeah. But I think in English you have to say that, because in English you can say this is pig food for me, it doesn't sound right. It's not, it's not like you're going to eat the pig food, right? Yeah.
My pig's meal.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that you may have to actually, you may have to change it in English anyway. It, at least when you're going to do a proper translation, you have to change it. I mean, provisionally, maybe not. But can I have a look right there? Just have a look at what I've got in there. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Meal well, for my pigs. Yeah,
but you can use expressions like this is the pig food for the pigs, or have you prepared the pig food? You know, so.
Yeah, and I could set that in here as a note that my mama has to be inserted in the middle of the compound for the expression to be clear in English.
Yeah. Okay. Why isn't it may? This is a show my ignorance here, but why?
Because here it is standing at the beginning of the phrase, right? May is an ecliptic, it doesn't ever stand at the beginning of a phrase.
Oh, you mean they're equivalent?
Yeah, they're equivalent. Yeah. Same.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I can't remember all these.
Yeah. Sorry, what did you say before again? I lost that.
You can use expressions like pig food. Did you prepare the pig food? You know.
Hmm.
So, you know, so it's just how do you fit that expression pig food in to make it any sense? So, I mean, what you said is this is a meal for my pigs is probably reasonable, or this is pig food for my pigs, or.
You have to
insert something to just make it a bit more.
Exactly.
But the basic sense is there.
Maybe, but it could mean many things, you know. The basic sense here could be this is pig food, it could mean that I'm going to eat the pig food. You know, this is.
But I think it's just taking possession of it and taking it home.
Contextually, it's obvious, but if you didn't have the context, you wouldn't know how. Yeah. If you didn't have context, it could mean anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why context is so important to understand these things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Janunahang itto sukkaguttan hareya. So here you have the verb here is hareya, to carry. And you have, this is an optative first person singular. I should carry. I should carry. Hareya. Is it carry the right verb here? Roughly.
Yeah, you put it down carry, but I must say I had a real problem looking up this verb. I just couldn't find that at all.
Should be at the back. Har. Should be back.
Yeah, I found har, but
I sort of knew it when I looked for some reason.
To take. To take, basically. It's actually carry. People to take. So could you kind of find a take, if you like?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the I guess it's a Nisanya Pachitya, Araya, says he can only carry the wool, he can only carry. It's that verb, Araya, right?
Carry, yeah.
So I figured it was carry.
Yeah. Carry, take, yeah.
Or not, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thing is that there is, this is the thing with language, there's never an exact equivalent, right?
But if you're talking about one, right.
Yeah, so it depends on the context again. It can be take, can be carry.
But there is specifically that he's carrying.
I think in that context it can carry, I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. So, yeah.
I guess take and carry are pretty similar,
Okay, so, Janunahang itto sukkaguttan harayan. So, harayan is I should take or I should carry. And ahang there. Yanun ahang, the last part of ahang is I, that's the agent. And the patient is sukkagutang, so that's dry dung. So I should carry dry dung is the basic meaning here of the sentence. I should carry dry dung. And then you have yanuna, which means now something like, you know, what if, perhaps maybe, perhaps I should carry dry dung. And then itto means from here. That's an ablative ending, the to ablative ending from here.
I thought it was, what if I were to carry?
Yeah. What if I were to carry? Perhaps I should carry. Maybe I should carry. You know, what now if I should carry? All those kind of things. Yeah. So uttara sangang pataritva pahutang sukaguntang aharitva bandikang banditva sise ubahetva agamasi. So here you have a whole series of verbs, and you can see they're all gerunds. They're like preliminary actions, and then we have the final verb at the very end, agamasi. And the first verb here is pataritva, and it means to spread out. And the agent here is so, right? That's a nominative. So he, having spread out, and what he is spreading out is uttarasangang. Uttarasangang is the upper row, right? It's exactly the same name that we use for the upper row. So he, having spread out the uttarasangang, I find that it's very interesting that actually in those days, this is one of the things that I find so fascinating about reading the suttas in Pali, because you recognize things you wouldn't recognize in English. And that is that in those days, they used the same garments for monks and for lay people. He also used uttarasangha, you know. So in those days, monks and lay people would look pretty much alike, you know. They wouldn't be that different. Yeah? And that is one of the fascinating things that you see even some reading the Pali, because you get the exact words of that they're using for these things. So. And the same thing with uttarasangha, they would use a sarong, right, in both monks and the lay people. So,
I think the Romans were dressed. You know, you see pictures and sculptures of the Romans. It seems like they're wearing the same sort of basically, you know, like same kind of things.
As the Indians.
Yeah.
The
toga. But you know, a robe, a big robe, and then they've got stuff on underneath. I mean, it's something. They didn't wear pants.
Oh no, for sure. Yeah.
And they just had a big toga on a robe, but they had this pin where they. Instead of throwing it out, pinned it there.
Yeah.
So it would stay on.
Most of the ancient world had similar kind of things. Yeah. it's interesting, isn't it? Because,
Most of the ancient world, I'm sure.
We were just ahead of the fashion curve. It would come back again.
Yeah.
When nobody
cares,
they're
hanging.
I think it's great, actually. I think it's really good stuff, the world we have. But we stand much more out than we did in those days, you know. Anyway, so having spread out the uttarasangha, pahutan sukha gutta aharitva. So aharitva is to having gathered or something like that. Having collected. And so having collected, and then you have what he has collected is in the accusative. So that's pahutan sukha gutta, having collected much dry dung. Bandikang banditva is having bound, and bandikang is like a bundle, basically, having bound the bundle. Sise ubahetva means like to mount, basically, or to put on. And sise here is a locative, that's an important one, the locative ending, sise, the e ending. So it means on the head, is a location. So having placed on the head, or having put on the head, agamasi, he went. So the whole thing becomes, he, having spread out his upper robe, having collected much dry dung, having made a bundle, having mounted on the head, he left. Tassa antramage maha akalo akalamego pa vasi. Okay, this is a bit more complicated because it's a bit more idiomatic, but basically, follow the standard procedure. Pavasti is the main verb here. It means to pour down or to rain. And what did the raining is akala mego, which is the agent here. Akala is an untimely, mego is clouds, untimely cloud, out of season cloud. Out of season cloud rained, aris. And maha agrees with akala mego, so the great out of season cloud rained. And then you have tassa antramage, which is a bit idiomatic. Mage means on the road, on the way, and tassa is literally of him, and antara is again, I think antara is just like antara usually means between, but I think here it has a sense of like on the road, being part of the road. So basically, while he was on the road is what that expression means. Whilst on the road, whilst on his way, if you like, a great cloud rained. Whilst, yeah, maybe antara, if that's while, can't really be while, can it? Yeah, but he actually has whilst here for antara. So if you could say antara is whilst, and tasta is his, and magga is on the way, whilst on his way here, a great cloud poured down.
Are you going to translate these?
Sorry?
Did you translate?
Yeah.
You didn't translate?
Yeah, it's all my translation.
But you said he, so I...
Whilst on his way.
You said he has. And I thought, who's he?
He has?
You said he has whilst.
Oh, no, yeah. Water. I'm just following
oh,
water.
Oh, you mean up in the translation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, okay. So ugarantan pagarantan yava aganaka gutena makito guta baran adaya agamasi. This is quite it's a bit more complex sentence, but it actually comes out reasonably nicely if you take it stage by stage. So there's lots of participles and verbs and all kind of stuff in here. You have ugarantan is a present participle, pagarantan is a present participle. You have makito, a past participle, adaya is a gerund, and agamasi is a ordinary, what they call a finite verb. So if you assume that the participles here just work like adjectives, you just go start with adaya, first of all, adaya having taken. And who has taken that is so. So that is he, just at the very beginning there. So he having taken, and he here agrees with makito. Makito is a past participle that agrees with he. So it has to. So he, in other words, he who is smeared, makito, and what he is smeared, because they're past participle, he is smeared with something, and that is gutena, the instrumental there. So he, smeared with dung, So he is smeared with dung, having taken. And what he has taken here is gutabaran, the load of dung, right? So he, smeared with dung, having taken the load of dung, ugarantan pagarantan means like oozing and dripping. So it obviously agrees with gutabaran here because it's an accusative as well. So he, having taken the load of dung, which was dripping and oozing, and then you have smeared, so that agrees with the he, smeared with dung, and then you have yava aganaka. Aganaka is the tip of the nails, quite literally, and it's an ablative construction which goes with yava. So it means as far as the nail, the tips of the nails, so the tips of the nails, basically.
It's singular. Nail is singular.
It's singular, exactly. Tip of the nail, precisely. Yeah, which is quite strange, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In English, it doesn't sound quite right. So, so having taken the load of dung, oozing and dripping, smeared with dung as far as the tip of the nail, agamasi he left. That's roughly what it means. And then you have to sort of transform it into proper English afterwards. So
we also say head to toe, like, which is the singular.
Mm.
To the fingertips.
Yeah.
So it could be something like head to toe.
Yeah.
He was covered from head to toe.
To toe in dung, basically. Yeah. That's basically what it's saying. Yep. Yeah.
Yava takes, what is that? Is that
Yava takes an ablative.
Oh,
it means as far as. Right. That's why it takes an ablative, yeah. That's why you have the aganaka there, the long A at the end.
Mm.
Yeah. What does my translation in there? Can you, what does it look like?
He went smeared with dung as far as the tip of the nail, having taken the oozing and dripping load of dung.
Oh, okay, yeah. Read it a little bit better, yeah. But you get roughly the idea of what's happening here, so, yeah. Okay.
It's still interesting, we have similar similes, like tip of the nail, tip of the toe, or...
Yeah. Tang enang manusa disva evang hangsu. Two verbs, disva and hangsu, having seen. So start with the first verb, having seen, and who have seen him must be manusa, is a nominative plural. So people, or human beings, people, having seen, tang enang is literally him. That's the accusative of tang, accusative of soul. So people having seen him, evang hangsu, said thus, or said this. Third person plural of the verb to say, said this.
You said time could mean something else also.
Then maybe? Was that
yeah.
Then people having seen him, enang could then mean him. Yeah.
15. Yeah. Is either indeclinable.
Could be either one, but yeah. It's complicating issues a bit, but yeah, could be that. And what they said was, kachi no tvang bane umato kachi veceto. So here you have basically two equational sentences. You have to add the verb to be, and the first one ends with umato. Umato is a past participle meaning mad, basically. Mad, crazy. It's a past participle. Or maybe just an adjective, I'm not sure, but it's a past participle. Might be both, actually, I'm not sure about that. So, umato, mad. And tvang is you, and that agrees with umato, so you are mad. And bane is like, I say, you are mad. And then you have kachino is something like kachino, aren't you? Or, you know, surely you are, or surely aren't you mad, I say. Kachi veceto, perhaps veceto, similar kind of thing, veceto, what does it have here? Daft, aren't you stupid? So here you have tvang agreeing with umato, you are mad, and you have kachino, which is just indeclinable, meaning surely, and no is no, surely aren't you mad? Bani, I say, perhaps veceto, daft. Kathanginama ugarantang pagarantang yava aganaka gutena makito guta baran aha harisasi ti. And here you have again, this is exactly the same thing as the sentence we saw before, but here you have the future tense. And the future tense here simply goes with kathanginama. Kathanginama and future go together. And it means something like, "For how can you carry? How can you, how can you take? How can you carry?" It doesn't actually have a future sense. It just means, "How can you? How can you carry?" And what you can carry is, of course, the gutta baran. How can you carry a load of ham, a load of dung rather, ugarantan, dripping and smearing. Running and dripping load of dung, being smeared with dung as far as the fingernails. Something like that.
What is the noun? Is that?
Katanginama is a whole expression, idiomatic expression, which means, how could you?
Oh.
Yeah, it goes together with the future of the verb. Katanginama plus the future of the verb means, how could you? And then, how could you carry? How could you take, right?
Yeah.
And then he replies, Tumhe ko eta bane umata, tumhe vaceta, tatta hipana me sukara battan. Tumhe ko eta bane umata. And here you can see umata now is the nominative plural, because now it agrees with tumhe, which is you, plural. He's talking to many, talking to the whole crowd of people. You are mad, I say, And etam is like here, in this case. In this case, you are mad. You are stupid, acheta. Tatta hi paname sukkarabhatanga. Tatta hi paname. He means often for, and tatta here, I'm not sure what the meaning is supposed to be, right in this case.
Truly.
Okay, yeah. Tatta hi paname. Okay, so tatta hi truly. Truly, and then you have this is a pig meal for me. Yeah. This is a pig meal for me. Yeah. Truly, this is a pig meal for me. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, happy for that one? Yeah.
What's bitter about it is that these truths are still going on.
Oh, yeah. But you remember that sutta we just did it a few days ago? It's the Payasa Sutta. Yeah. I did it in the main hall. This is on the Payasa Sutta. This is about that prince who was holding wrong view, saying, oh, there is no soul because I cooked the fennel in the jar, and then, you know, we open the lid, there's no soul coming out. Were you here when the death?
Yes.
And he's then giving the simile. Well, you're just like, you know, you're carrying this wrong view with you. The wrong view is just like carrying this kind of dung for the pig. It's the same kind of idea. It smears you. It makes you stink. It makes you suffer, all this stuff. And still you're going carrying this wrong view around.
Okay. I remember that idiom, actually.
It was there.
I didn't remember that either. Yeah, I don't remember.
That was towards the end, because he had agreed, okay, you're right. But I, held on to this view for so long, I'm not going to give it up just because you say it's right.
Yeah.
And it says, well, you're just like this pig breeder who carries this thing and it's just smearing you. Yeah.
I don't remember that either. It's bizarre. I wonder if it's cut out or something. But I don't
know. I didn't remember. Yeah, we did a lot in a very short time. So.
Yeah.
What is the reference I have in that page over there? Paper.
Two, three, four, seven.
Yeah, that would be that sutta.
348.
Yeah, that would be that sutta, because it's towards the very end of the volume 2. That would be that sutta. That's the last sutta of volume 2. Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's go on to translate into English. Bhagava Rajagahe Diharati. This is a very straightforward sentence. Finally, something straightforward. So, Diharati is to dwell, to live. And the person who does the living here is Bhagava, nominative, so the blessed one dwells Rajagaha in the Rajagaha. And you probably have to change, even though Viharati is a present tense, you have to change it into past, because this is a historical present. So the blessed one dwells in Rajagaha. So here you have your first locative in Rajagaha. Ime Chandima Surya Parasming Loke Na Imasming. So here you have an equational sentence, you have to add the verb to be, and what is equated here is ime chandima surya, ime these, and chandima surya is a dvanda compound, which means moon and sun. So these, moon and sun, these moon and sun, and then you have parasming loke, which is parasming agrees with loke, which means parasming is another, and loke is the world. And this is a locative again, so in another world. So these moon and sun are in another world, na imasming, not in this, not, in other words, not in this world. It's a bit funny here how in English the R, the verb to be, has to be put between the locative and the nominative, which is a bit funny to make it work out. Usually the verb to be goes between two nominatives, but not here. So.
Spoken like a true grammarian.
No, I don't know. Because you have to make sense of what's going on, you know.
Can you believe it? It should be between the two nominatives. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Kisming vo vigaho, kisming vivado. So here we have another equation sentence. And vigaho is like a quarrel or dispute, and so is vivado. So vigaho, and vo here is your dispute. So, and then kisming is here, means presumably in what? In other words, with a reference to what? It's a reference. With a reference to what is your dispute? with reference to what is your dispute? Or it is a dispute of yours with reference to what?
Could you just say where?
Kismeng.
No, it doesn't mean where. It
doesn't mean where.
I mean, in English, it's where you would say to somebody, where is your quarrel? Where is your dispute? You know.
What is it about? I think the purpose is.
Yeah.
What is it about?
I mean, it wouldn't make sense.
Is that how you use where in English?
Well, yeah, in a sense.
Where, I would understand where, oh, it's in the attic, that's where the dispute is.
No, I can say that.
Can you? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Where is your dispute? All right. Okay. I would say concerning what is your dispute? About what is your dispute? Kismeng vivado. Concerning what is the argument? Evan gutte anyatrao. Rajamacho, Rajanang, etan avocho. So here you have evan gutte, first of all, and this is actually a locative absolute. Usually when you have an absolute clause, you have an agent, a pronoun or a noun which is an agent, together with a past participle, both being in the locative. But in this case, gutte stands by itself and there's no actual agent there. But still, this kind of construction is normally regarded as locative absolute, even though it doesn't actually have an agent there. So gutte, the locative ending of e there is a past participle being said. It doesn't actually have a locative meaning because it is a locative absolute. So instead it means when. So when thus was said, when thus had been said, or when this had been said, in other words. When this had been said, Anyata Rajamacho Rajanang Eta Davocha Avocha said, he said. And who did the saying is Anyataro Rajamacho, a certain minister of the king, a certain minister basically. And he spoke to Rajanang, to the king. A certain minister said this to the king. When this had been said, a certain minister said this to the king. Nadani tena chirang jivitambang bhavisati. So here you have the main verb is just bhavisati. And here it is together with jivitamba, which is a future passive participle, which means to be lived. And bhavisati will be. So that last part there means will be lived, quite literally. So will be lived. And there is no agent in the sentence apart from that. So it just, it will be lived. And there's no patient either. It's just all a bunch of, there's a by him there. Yeah, okay. Tena by him. Because jivitambang is a passive future participle, the agent is always in the instrumental, right? To be lived by him. I guess it's not really an agent, is it? Not really. To be lived. Anyway, so you can, I guess you can look upon it as an agent. So to be lived by him, and then you have Nachiran, which means not long, and Dani just means now, they're all in declinables. So now, not long to be lived by him. Is the meaning. Now, it will not be lived long by him, or something like that. You get the idea what it means. In other words, basically, translate, he will die soon. So, bota ranya vipatisaro na karaniyo. And here you have karaniyo is, again, another future passive participle. It means to be done, which should be done, and you have an na, so it should not be done. And here again, the agent is the instrumental, because it's a passive sentence, the future passive participle is just like the past participle, is passive. So the agent is boto ranya, by the honorable king, or something like that. Boto is like honorable, the honorable king. Yeah. So by the honorable king, should not be done. And what should not be done here will then be in the nominative case, because the passive sentence. So vipatisaro and so go together. So vipatisaro agree with each other. So that is what should not be done. And vipatisaro is like regret or remorse. So that remorse is not to be done by the honorable king. You know, in English, please don't have any remorse, your majesty. Right? That's what you would say in English. That remorse is not to be done by the honorable king. have to be, you know, quite literally. Please don't have any remorse, Your Majesty.
Na ko panetan po tapada evan databanyu. Databanyu. Databanyu, another passive participle, to be seen. There is no instrumental here, so there's no agent in the sentence. And you have here databang, in this case, agreeing with etan. So this is to be seen. And you have evan is thus or so. So this, and then you have the na at the beginning making it negative. So this is not to be seen thus. Potapada is the evocative, you speak to potapada. Potapada, this is not to be seen thus. Etan agreeing with databang. Databang. Kinshid eva karaniyan upaji. So here the main verb is upaji, and karaniyan here acts like a noun in the sentence here. Upaji means to arise, and here is aorist, third person negative, so arose. And kinshid eva karaniyan is actually the agent here, the thing which arises. So that is in all, it's actually nominative. Kinshid eva is just some. And karaniyan is business, basically, or activity, or business, or in other words, to be done, you know, business. So something to be done arose. Eva is like just an intensifier. Indeed, something to be done arose, some business arose. Idang sevitambang, idang na sevitambang. Sevitambang means to pursue, or to follow, or to be done. So if you translate to pursue, then sevitala means to be pursued. And then you have this agreeing with that. So this is to be pursued. Just equational sentence. This is to be pursued. There's no agent here. It's just a straightforward equational. And this is really like the patient here of sevitamba. This is to be pursued. Idan na sevitamba. This is not to be pursued. End of story. You want to go through the English to Pali as well, or...? Is it useful, do you think? I'm not sure. Is that useful to go through the English? We might as well go through the English to Pali as well.
Yeah.
We've got a few more minutes, so, yeah. If now I were to ask the philosopher Gautama a question, if in that connection the philosopher Gautama were to ask me thus, etc., etc., I just better stop there. So, we'll just stop at the first verb here. The first verb is were to ask. And he tells us it's optative, so were to ask but then becomes a pucheyang, 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 double Y, you have a double Y there, and you have to have the A-M ending because it's I, it's agent, so pucheyang. And if is che, and now here is vakopana, so ahang che vakopana. Pucheyang, and then you have to have the philosopher Gautama a question, so philosopher Gautama then becomes the accusative, because that's who is being asked. And the question is the second accusative, because the verb to ask double transitive. Double transitive? Something like that. It's bitransitive. It's a bitransitive verb. It takes two separate patients, right? You ask someone something.
I thought maybe it was dative, so I put it wrong.
Ah, okay.
It's direct. It's just a direct object.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
I guess wrong.
Yeah, just the right object. So the philosopher Gautama is then samanang Gautamang, and question is panya. So you get something like ahangche ve kopana samanang Gautamang panyan pucheyan. That's the first part of the sentence. And if in that connection the philosopher Gautama were to ask me thus, again, were to ask me, presumably then is another octative. And then this time it's third person singular, so it then becomes pucheya, not pucheyan, but pucheya. And now the philosopher Gautama is the agent, so samano Gautamo pucheya, and me would be the accusative because he's asking me, so that's mange. And thus is eva. So in this case, you get something like And in that connection, it's probably just tatta or idda or something like that. Tatta or idda means here in this connection. Idda or tatta, there. Maybe idda. Not sure. So, sama no che gota mo, or idda che sama no gota mo, mang emang pucheya. Something like that.
Would you never have Avon last, or would it always be before the last word?
Very often.
Is it okay to have the last?
Oh, it would never be last, usually.
It would never be last.
But I should be careful what I say now. I might give you the wrong information. Usually it's not the last. Usually the verb is last. Yeah. And Avon, it often goes together with the verb, right? Avon Puchayan, ask thus.
Mm.
So it has. It's almost like one. One expression to ask us, yeah, to ask this.
Mm.
Yeah. Is that roughly what I have? That's right.
You just have padeya instead.
Padeya.
Yeah, you have that. Where to say rather than what or where to ask.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So that's that is a bad translation by word. He should really have say here. If he wants padeya, he should have translated with say rather than ask, because that really is impossible to guess from just translating. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so if he were to say thus, what he were to say is, priest, this questioner should not be asked thus, but thus, priest, this question should be asked. So if Gautama were to say this to me, how to translate this again? Start with a verb, should not be asked. Now, should not be asked, this is the same as not to be asked. So this is a future passive participle. That's put. Chittabang, right? And then you have the not, so na puchitabang. And then you have thus, evang, so na evang puchitabang. And this question would agree with that future passive participle, because that question is what is being asked. So that is like the patient. So that would agree with that future passive participle. Maybe it is bo. It's bo, exactly. I was going to say that. It's nominative. Yeah. Puchita bo. Yeah. Na evang puchita bo. And then this question is then ayan panyho agrees with that. And then you have brahmana, which is the vocative. So, ayan brahmana panyho na evang puchita bo. That's the first part. But thus, priest, this question should be asked. So again, puchita bo. And again, ayam panihang, and then, but thus, so, eva nama brahmana, ayam panihang puchitabo. Something like that.
You can use esa out here.
Esa?
Yeah.
Oh, this question, esa. Okay, so it's just esa.
It could be not esa.
Not esa, panya. Okay, so it's esa rather than ayam, the same thing. Yeah,
it's not.
Panho. So
it's okay to use idang. Idang
panho. No, not because idang is a neuter pronoun. And ayang is a masculine pronoun. You have to have ayang together with panho. Otherwise it doesn't fit the case. Yeah. The gender. Yeah. Or it could be esa, like what is saying over there.
Sure.
Eso, esa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's thinking, if the Gautama says thus, that you can't even ask the question rightly, this assembly would despise me for that. And despise here, what is the word for despise? I'm not quite sure what that would be. Despise here is paribhavati. Okay.
Paribhaveya.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So paribhaveya is obviously a optative, and the assembly is a singular. So paribhaveya, third person singular. Paribhaveya. This assembly is then becomes an ayan paris. This assembly would despise me. So it's actually a ayan parisa. Okay, it's ayan parisa. It's feminine singular, of course. Ayan parisa. would despise me. So it's mung again, is the patient there, so the accusative. Ayan parisa mung paribhavenyang, and for that tena. So that's
What's the ending on the verb?
It's paribhaveya.
Yeah.
Yeah, paribhaveya. So you have ayan parisa mung tena paribhaveya. And then comes how they would despise him. Actually, I forgot the T in the last sentence. There should have been a T there before in the last sentence. I forgot that. After this question we asked thus, T. Puchitabo T. I forgot that one before.
You know, he says in here, he says Tena put at the beginning of a clause. That means at the very, very beginning.
Yeah. It means at the beginning of a clause because the sentence is so long here. It goes on and on. The priest, Sonadanda, is a fool. Unintelligent. He could not ask the philosopher Gautama a question consequently. That's ridiculous. I don't know why he to me that doesn't make any sense at all. Maybe just my lack of understanding of English, but
no, because he only saw as consequently.
Yeah, but how?
Yeah, why?
Wisely makes much more sense, right? Or intelligently, properly. Consequently, doesn't make any sense to me in that context.
And that's what he translates, you only saw as methodically or consequently.
Yeah, but does it make any sense to you? Sir? Does it fit well?
Well, like, I mean, I'm assuming he wants you to push towards your...
Wisely makes a lot more sense.
Or properly. Properly or something. Properly makes more sense, yeah.
Yeah, but that's his basic translation, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
He translates, you only saw as methodically or consequently, not wisely or...
That's what I mean, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... Yeah.
Well, it means because he's stupid, they're saying because he's stupid, consequently, he couldn't ask the question.
No, I'm not saying that.
No, it doesn't say that?
No, it doesn't say that. At the top of it, he says that he doesn't ask the question consequently. In other words, it relates to the asking. It's unwise asking, an unconsequent asking.
Well, right? That
precisely, that's what I mean. It doesn't say consequently can't do it. It's complete
it
nonsense.
It couldn't mean that then. I mean, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how consequently can be a good translation for Ioniso. It doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, so let's see how we translate this then. The priest Sonadanda is a fool, unintelligent. That's the first part. That's an equational sentence there, because you have the verb to be. And so you have all of these are nominatives. So you have Brahmano, Sonadando, fool here is Balo, presumably, and unintelligent is Avyato, okay. So Sonadando, Brahmano, Balo, Avyato, right? So that's, I think you don't even need the verb to be there, I'm just going to say it like that. He could not ask the philosopher Gautama a question wisely, and could not ask. So ask here is infinitive. Well, we haven't even learned that yet. So it's puchitung, and could not being able to is the verb sakoti. So na sakoti, he could not ask. Aorist, okay. Nasaki, right? Nasaki. And then you have philosopher Gautama is then again in the patient, so it's accusative. Nasaki samanang Gautamang panihang yoniso puchitung. Where is it? Ubatak? Missing.
Weightlifting. You probably need to see it.
No, it should be offered. Yeah. That's roughly what it comes down to. Now. Brahmano sonadando, balo avyato, na sakoti, samanangota man panihang, yoniso puchitung. Make sense?
So you would say yoniso means wisely in this case. Oh. Yeah. But you feel that it should be translated wisely? That would be the way to do it?
Well, in this case, I would say properly is even
maybe even more appropriate, you know, because that fits the context really well. Right? But the general meaning, I think, of Oyoniso is like wisely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could use it here, but properly, it's probably more appropriate for asking a question. You ask a question properly here, or appropriately here.
Yeah.
Okay, the last paragraph here. If now the philosopher Gautama were to ask me a question, if I were not to satisfy his mind with my explanation of his question, if in that connection the philosopher Gautama were to say to me, thus, now this is getting pretty complicated.
Actually, consequently isn't too bad, because consequently means from a source in a way, yeah? As a consequence of coming from something.
Yeah, but I mean, normally you can't say that in English, though. You can't even ask the question consequently.
Well, you could say, and as a consequence, you can't ask a question.
But that is not what it's saying. That's not how the sentence reads.
Yeah.
It doesn't say as a consequence. That would be a completely different construction of Pali.
Yeah.
It talks about, it's using an adverb to the verb, saying how you actually say, how you're asking. You're asking it inconsequently. You're asking it.
You might say as a result.
Yeah.
As a result, you can't. As a result, you can't even ask a question.
No, it doesn't say that. Because that's a different construction again.
Okay.
If you want to say as a result, you have to construct the Pali differently. The point here is that yoniso is an adverb that agrees with the asking. You are asking unwisely, right?
Okay.
So it's directly related to the asking, unwise asking. It's in other words, it's not consequentially asking. That's what he's saying it means, basically. Yeah. So you can't say as a result and as a consequence. There's a completely different construction of Pali.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It makes no sense, precisely.
It's
Ayuniso. Yeah, precisely. It's very unwise. Yeah. Okay, anyways, let's try the next one here. So if now the philosopher Gautama were to ask me a question, it's exactly the same as before, were to ask Pucheya, philosopher Gautama is the agent, Samano Gautamo, and ask me, Mang, a question, Panihang, both accusative. If now is then Che va Kopana. So Samano Che Kopana Gotamo, Mang Panihang Pucheya, is the first part. And I were not to satisfy the mind with an explanation of his question. So to satisfy here is presumably kameya, is that right? That's the right word, but kameya?
Aradeya.
Okay. Kameya means to please, so it's a bit different. Aradeya. Okay. So satisfy aradeyang, because it's the it's the first person. So ahang na aradeyang, and then the mind which is being satisfied, that is the accusative, so that's presumably chittang, is that right? Chittang?
Mm.
Yeah, chittang. Na ahang chittang aradeyang, and then with the explanation of this question, explanation is via karanena, it must be the instrumental of his question. Question is panyang, his panyasa, and then his would then be tassa panyasa, something like that. Tassa panyasa, yeah.
Mm.
So you have something like ahang chittang tassa panyasa. Veya karanena na aradeya, or something like that.
Yeah, the only thing is he's got the cha connected to
cha,
si,
pasta. Ah, okay, because it connects sentences to cha. Yeah, okay, yeah. Sure. Yep. Cha.
That's quite tricky. You go tasa cha han. Tasa has to go first or something.
Is that what he has there?
Plus you have here.
Oh, okay. I've just taken it out of the. I've copied it from the sutta itself, so that's why.
Panhasa, Veya
Vyakarana.
Aradayan.
Yeah.
Is it easy to find the instrumental there of Vyakaranena?
Yeah, it's quite easy. Vyakaranena. You take El Shito. First of all, you look in the back and you find out that Vyakarana is a neuter noun. That's what you have the first thing to find out. It's a neuter noun in the back, neuter noun in A. Once you know it's a neuter noun in A, you look at this column, and the second column there, it says neuter nouns in A. See, can you see that?
Yeah.
The second column. The very top of the second column, it says neuter. And then A at the very top.
Yeah. Oh, we're looking at the verb here.
No, Vyakarana is an explanation. Not to explain, an explanation.
Instrumental.
So if you look there, and you look down the table, and you find the instrumental, and it says ena ending. Instrumental singular. Ena.
It's not ena. Does that mean just there's a blank, that it's the one before?
Because it's the same for both of those columns. That's why like that. Yeah.
No, I knew that it was ena, but I thought it was, for some reason, I thought it was kar ena. I didn't know it was karan ena. And first I wrote it karan ena, and I thought, oh, that can't be right. It must be kar ena.
No, because the noun, the basic noun, is vyakarana. So you have to add ena on the end. Right? The basic noun is vyakarana, so it becomes vyakaranena. You have to add the ena to the basic noun.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're cutting out a syllable, basically. You're saying,
yeah.
Oh, I don't like so many ends, I want to be a bit shorter.
Yeah.
So you're saying, too hard to say. Mm. Yeah. Okay. So let's just finish off. If I were not to able to satisfy the mind with my question, if in that connection the philosopher Gautama were to say to me thus, same as before, so were to say to me, here he has say, which is right, so it's Vadeya, and the agent is philosopher Gautama, third person singular, as the agent, so Samano Gautamo, and to me, so that's Mang, and thus is Evanga. And if in that connection, probably is Idda or Tatta, I would say Idda. What is the Pali there?
Tatra.
Okay, there. Okay, Tatra.
Tatra.
Yeah. So Tatra, is it Che? Tatra Che? Tatra Che Mang, Samana Gautamo, Evan Vadeya. Yeah. And he would say that what he would say is, priest, this question now should not be explained thus. But thus, priest, this question should be explained. So again, should not be explained is again presumably Vyakareya? Vyakareya?
No. Oh yeah, yes.
Vyakareya, yeah?
It's Vyakatabo.
Vyakatabo, okay, to be explained. Okay, so it's a future passive participle then. So Vyakatabo, so it's Na Vyakatabo, and it agrees with Eso or Esa Panyo. So it's Esa Panyo, and now, presumably here, is maybe, is it Vakopana again? Or, not sure.
Na chesa Brahmana Panyo Ewan Vyakatabo.
Na, what's it from the beginning again? Na?
Na chasa.
Na chasa. Ah, okay.
Panho Ewan
Tatabo.
Vyakatabo.
Not chasa. What is chasa there? See, it's
It's the same construction as we had earlier.
Is it? Yeah,
in the second sentence where Gautama is expressing the thought, na chasa brahmana panho.
Okay, yeah.
Puchatabo.
Should not be asa. Okay, it probably is the verb asa is to be, it probably means. Should be, probably. That's probably what it is. So, asahi is probably the the optative of the verb to be should be, so should be asked. I don't know why he has now in there.
Yeah, though. So you have an earlier note, essa is equivalent to aso, which is a dietetic pronoun,
yeah.
A pronoun of presence.
Yeah, essa, exactly. Yeah, so that's this question. But I don't understand the now in the translation here. The now is strange. Don't know where it comes in. Anyway, so na chesa.
Tena means now, right?
No. Oh, tena then as well, right?
No, at the very end, at the end of this section, he writes tena then. Tena man ayam parisa.
No, that's for that. That means for that. That's for that. Yeah, tena's for that. Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, basically, should not be asked thus is basically viakata bo, na viakata bo, and it agrees with esa panyo. So basically, esa panyo na evang viakata bo, and priest brahmana. Na brahmana esa panyo evang viakata bo. That's roughly how it should be translated correctly. It may not be all details what you have there, but it's roughly what it means. Yeah. But priest, this question should be explained. But thus priest, this question should be explained. Should be explained again is viakata bo and eso panyo. So then you have evang brahmana eso panyo viakata bo. So if that happened, this assembly would despise me for that. So again, would despise is patti bhaveya, and esa this assembly would then be esa parisa. Esa parisa man patti bhaveya tena esa parisa man patti bhaveya.
Yeah. But before that, he had. Nam esa, nam apostrophe esa, evang nam esa. That's what it said in here.
Evang
nam esa,
brahmana pan ho.
Yeah.
Veya katabo ti, tenamang ayam parisa paribhaveya.
Okay.
What is nam?
I think nama there is just some kind of indeclinable, which just doesn't really mean very much, I think, yeah, in that particular context. Evang nama, thus, just means thus, I think, yeah. So, what I should have done here probably,
nama means in this case?
Nama usually means name.
Name, yeah.
That's the meaning. It doesn't mean this case.
Right, okay.
Tatra means in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should have means like namely.
Yeah. Maybe it could be namely. Could be an adverb meaning. Namely.
Sort of like that. I mean, that mean kind of that meaning.
Possibly, yeah. Namely.
What did you say this one?
It just means name usually, yeah.
Oh. Well,
I'm not sure if it actually means namely anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, name, but somewhere else before here, he says but, and then he says in parentheses nama, but in parentheses nama.
Ah, okay. So he has transferred nama with but. Okay. Okay, yeah, so that's what is done there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Anyway, it's one of those things, it doesn't change the meaning very much, so. So probably that's that's exactly what is done, yeah. I can see it there, right there. But it's not as nama, yeah. So that's the nama there, but thus, yeah. So evang nama, yeah. So what he would say then is, the priest on the danda is a fool and intelligent, again, same as before, equational sentence. Brahmano sonadando balo avyato, he couldn't satisfy the mind with an explanation of the philosophy Gautama's question. He couldn't satisfy, again, satisfy is aradeti, right? Is that right? Aradeti? Aradetung is infinitive. Mm. Okay, aradetung, yeah. Mm. And couldn't is again asaki as before. So asaki. Nasaki, and what he couldn't, the mind, chittang nasaki, viakaranena, chittang, so chittang asaki viakaranena, of the philosopher Gautama's question, explanation of the philosopher Gautama's question. So, this is a double genitive. the question of philosopher Gautama, so it becomes Samanasa Gautamasa Panyasa. So Nasaki Chittan Nasaki Samanasa Gautamasa Panyasa Chittan Vyakaranena Aradetum, something like that.
Explain, you know, things like the explanation of the question. And, you know, you think of all these cases, you're not really sure, or at least I wasn't, whether that's generative, dative, or, you know, it's like, of the explanation of a question could be one of those idioms.
It could be, yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
You just have to assume that of means relative, usually, yeah.
Oh.
I think that's the main assumption. Basically, yeah. But it can be dative. I mean, you know, you're satisfying somebody's mind.
Yeah.
It's to their advantage in a sense. It can be dative there. It just depends on the
sure.
So it's a very highly reliable answer.
I also had a question about, you see, he talks here about the repetitive and ponderous style of debating of the aesthetics of that time. And it sort of, do you think that it was this repetitive and ponderous, or is this almost a kind of transformation of that into something that's easy to memorize, because this kind of almost repeat, you know, say it and then you repeat it almost verbatim in a negative context. You say this, no, you don't say this.
And as a
way of memorizing.
I think that's a very important part of it, actually.
I think
you're right. I think so. I think that's why it's so repetitive.
Why it's so ponderous.
Why it's ponderous, I think it's very true, actually. Because otherwise there would be absolutely no reason to repeat everything exactly the same way in the positive and the negative.
But because of the repetition, it's easier to memorize it. And
precisely.
It reinforces.
It's not just that, it's just that if you, every time you make a change, you know, you have to actually remember the change. But if you remember things exactly the same way, you don't have to remember the change in your mind. It's the same structure.
Yeah, and it's reinforcing.
Also reinforcing it as well,
It's just a minor point about the style, that's all. Because, you know, when you are reading this in English, it is ponderous and repetitive. But, you know, of course, you have to remember the medium that it's transmitted. It serves a different function.
I completely agree with you. And what that means in practice when you translate these things is that you can take out the repetitions.
Yeah.
Because they only had that particular, the way it was done, because of certain circumstances. We don't have the circumstances now, so you change the translation.
So that's where the bridging skill comes in.
Yeah, precisely. And that's why I would never translate it this repetitively. And this is one of the things also with the new Anguttara translation. It's going to be much less repetitive. Right?
Mm.
Cut things out, just to make it simple.
Mm.
You know, try to memorize these things.
Mm-hmm.